challenges of this life that we are living, this world that we are living in. There are a lot of dangers. I want to warn you, be careful. You read passages like this that talks about, you know, the kind of times you're drawn into an end of life when you consider the state that the world is in and how easy it would be for each one of us to fall victim to, you know, to Satan. So easy with this world that we live in. Just some of the examples there, we'll know that in the last days, perilous times will come. These days when we look around give us an indication that time is short. And we have to make good of the time that we have, however short that time may be. We have to make good of it. And so life is about preparation. Life is about preparing ourselves. I want to ask the congregation to be cautious in your day-to-day walk. Be cautious, including myself. We need to be cautious. We need to be looking out for the traps and looking out for the things that are going to draw us away from our relationship with God. One of my favourite passages I love to read, John 21, when he gives the account of the conversation where we see how Jesus forgives three times. He talks about feeding sheep and feeding lambs in the account. And of course, he's talking about protecting, he's talking about preparing. We as a congregation at the moment, we're looking at eldership. We want to prepare and equip elders to look after the flock, because this congregation is, if you imagine it as a flock, we're God's people, and we're in a world that is dangerous. And so we want to have shepherds, and we want to have men to oversee and protect the congregation and protect the members from the trappings of not to organise the running of the building, but to oversee and protect the people of this congregation, because each and every person here is important. And so here, when we look at these passages and look at these last days, we have to realise the dangers that are before us. And, you know, we as brothers, I call on all the brothers, you know, whether you feel you qualify or not, I call upon you to stand up and to aim and strive towards the kind of things that the Bible teaches in reference to the way that we should live in our lives as Christians. You know, Jesus said, follow me. That's the shepherd. He calls upon his people to be followers of him. And this means we must walk in his footsteps. You know, the direction he goes is the direction we need to follow. The attitude that he adapts is the attitude that we should adapt. And this is one of the complaints that God had against the Israelites in the Old Testament. If you remember when the Israelites were set free from their captivity, we see how one of the problems was that they wasn't always willing to follow God. They wasn't always willing to do what God had called on them to do. But we as Christians, our task is to follow our shepherd, to follow our Saviour Jesus. And this means that we need to study God's word, and we need to get into this teaching. Because perilous times are here. Perilous times are here. Dangerous times are here. And so we need to prepare ourselves. And you know, how many of us could say, like the Apostle Paul said, follow me, because I follow Christ. You know, how many of us would be able to confidently say to someone, listen, follow me? Sometimes we sort of think, don't follow me. Well, the last thing to follow. But the Apostle Paul said, follow me, because he was a follower of Jesus. He saw Jesus as his shepherd. He saw Jesus as his leader. And that was the path that he chose to take in his life. And so Jesus came as flesh in the human body. And when he died, the church began We see the start of the church, and he gave us the same name, the body of Jesus Christ. And so we bear his name. The church is called the body of Christ, so we are his body. If you imagine Jesus on the earth, everything that he did whilst he was on this earth, all the things, the messages, the way that he was reaching out to the world and striving to get people to follow him, when Jesus dies, he calls upon his church to carry on his message. In other words, we are now carrying on his message. We are now his voice. We are now his arms, his feet. Everything we do then needs to be as he would do it. The world should see him in us. And when we live in these perilous times, if we read in the passage in 2 Timothy in chapter 3, we realise that we need to really stand out. In our communities, in our homes, in our universities, in our workplaces, wherever we are, people need to see you. But when they see you, they need to see Jesus Christ. That is a challenge. That's our challenge today, to be able to stand up and be seen different. In John chapter 8, John 8, verse 12, Jesus said, he spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. When he says, I am the light of the world, the thing with the light is the light dissipates darkness. Darkness and light cannot go together. Light will always overpower darkness. And when darkness is there, the only thing that it will allow, once the light comes in and it dissipates that darkness, the only thing that will allow the darkness to come back is when the light is removed. And so he says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So no longer do we walk in darkness, we walk in the light, we follow him as he is in the light. And then he says, you will have the light of life. And so the people in the world around us, the people in this city, the people in this community, our homes, our husbands and fathers, and wherever we are in life, people should see the light in us. People should see the light of Jesus Christ in the way that we live our life and conduct our life. Because darkness is everything that Christ is not. Everything that is against Christ is to do with darkness, is to do with the removal of light. And even if it's just a small glimmer, it will overpower the darkness, and you'll see that from a great distance. So Jesus says, follow me, have the light of life, and we must live like this in the life that we live. In verse 12, Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me should not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And not only that, with reference to this, the darkness is everything that destroys everything that God is. And so we look in this passage in 2 Timothy 3, and we see the darkness. And so the passage is saying that in the last days, in the last times, the darkness will be throwing itself at everything that resembles light. Everything that resembles Jesus Christ, the darkness will be throwing against it. And Jesus is calling upon his people to avoid this. And so we need Jesus Christ in our life. Not only do we need Jesus in our life, we need him to be a part of who we are. And this is done through teaching and through studying, through learning. We need encouragement from his word, but we also need to be challenged. And so I call on you as a church to allow God's word to challenge you. Allow God's word to bring us to his standard. Allow God's word to bring us to where he wants us to be, because we are living in difficult times. Let's look in Luke 6, verse 36. Luke 6, verse 36. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. You see, we are called upon to meet God's challenges. We are called upon to meet God's standards. And even with this one example of mercy, we see the challenge that we have. Being merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. And there are many other passages in Scripture that call upon us to show these examples of Jesus in the life that we live and allow people to see us as we represent God. Each person in this room through the week are in different situations and different environments. And maybe, you know, the world is throwing challenges at us. Maybe people are putting you in situations that you find hard. Maybe people are speaking against you and wrongdoing you. But here we see the example of Jesus. This is the example of merciful people and showing mercy. And so the challenge, brethren, is to meet God's standard. The challenge is to be Christ-like. The challenge is to be more like Jesus. What a challenge it is when we look in 2 Timothy 3, look at the world that we're living in. Because we are living in a tough world. There is so much going on. When I'm in the city centre and I go up near the clock tower, if I'm handing tracts, and I'm seeing people going by, and sometimes you get rude comments, or sometimes people, they take the leaflet, they just throw it on the floor, or you just try and strike a conversation. Some of the conversations you have with some people is quite offensive. However, that is the world that we live in. The people will not always see things the way that God wants them to see. But we have to be merciful. And we have to allow these things, and we have to understand these things, that the world we live in is just like that. What we have to do is strive to make a difference. And so, Jesus in his walk, everything he did was all about meeting people and trying to show them a glimmer of his light that he had. Trying to show them the person that he was, who he represented, and allowing them to see the message that he came down to bring. That is the challenge that he gives us, and the challenge that I put before you this morning. Often we go to Scripture for encouragement. You know, there's nothing greater than an encouraging sermon or a lot of encouragement. But, you know, sometimes we want to be lifted up, and sometimes we want to be encouraged. Well, let me ask you this question. What about being challenged? Are we willing to be challenged? Sometimes when things are put before us, are we willing to take them off? Maybe you go into Galatians and you look at the fruit of the Spirit, look at their challenges in there. Are these things that you're willing to take on and try and strive for and strive to adapt into your life? Jesus took these challenges, the same challenges. And so in Hebrews chapter 6, Hebrews 6, in verse 19, I want you to remember this important message that Jesus went ahead. A good leader always goes ahead. He went ahead. In Hebrews 6 and verse 19, he says this hope we have as an anchor of the soul. In other words, the hope to have is the one thing that's steadfast, the one thing that holds them still. This anchor is the thing that stops the ship from swaying away or moving away or being dragged out to sea. He says, this hope we have is an anchor. It's sure. We sing the song, we have an anchor that is steadfast and sure. And so the anchor is steadfast of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. And of course, Jesus became the one that was going to completely fulfill, to obliterate all of the past, to put an end to all of the sacrifices that were made to cover the sins. We were talking about this in our class this morning, in the children's class, about how God once covered the sins, but now he removes the sins. And of course, Jesus was the one He was the one that tore the veil. He was the one that brought everything before us. He was the forerunner. He was the forerunner before us. So Jesus enters as a forerunner, one who runs in front of us, one who takes the lead. And so we have his example. The same race was run by him. The same race, the same circumstances, the same situations that we face on a daily basis. In Hebrews 12, verse 1, he says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with the endurance, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." The race that is set before us, that is the race that he went before us. He went before us. And we can look unto Jesus. Notice the author and finisher. The author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before us, he endured a cross, despising all the shame that came with the cross. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. To follow Jesus is to be his reflection, but remembering that he went before us. He set the standards, he set the examples. You see, this world where we talked about the perilous times, and as we look in our passage in 2 Timothy 3, we see as well that Jesus, through his time, went through these dreadful situations and faced all kinds of dreadful experiences. But he stood firm and he set the perfect example and fulfilled the task that was known that we can see. In Hebrews 4 and verse 15, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses." Why? Why? Because he experienced them himself. He could sympathize with our weaknesses. He had the same temptations we have. But he says, "But was in all points tempted as we are." You know, we are tempted, and so was he, yet he was without sin. And so we, brethren, can use that example in our life. He was tempted exactly as me and as you. The same temptations we have. You all know your temptations. You know, we struggle with different things. You know what they are. And he had them temptations himself. But he was the one that was without sin. And he had to be the perfect sacrifice in order that we could be redeemed. And so he was tempted. If he lived on earth, if we lived on earth, how can we follow the world when we call upon the fact that we are children of God? We are the people who represent him. We are the ones who receive the light and so are able to receive that light and share that light. Sometimes we think we can't achieve it. Sometimes the obstacles that we have in our life seem too great to overcome, and we underestimate God when we allow that to happen. That you can overcome any sin in your life if you work firmly in your faith in him to allow you to get through these things. In Hebrews 4 verse 16, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence." We lack confidence. As Christians, we lack confidence. We think, "I can't do it. I can't get over these problems. I can't get over these sins." We beat ourselves up day after day after day, thinking we cannot overcome these things. But he says, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy. That is the mercy we were talking about. That we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Through our sin, through our weaknesses, through our transgressions, through our failings, we can approach God's throne of grace with confidence. That is the relationship that we have. That is how I cannot imagine living life without Christ in my life. Because we have Him as our example. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, we look at these sins that are before us. 1 Corinthians 10, 13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind." And God is faithful. I want you to notice that. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. That is powerful. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you may endure and get through. And we need to believe that. And we need to have the strength to understand that. Our Saviour is not a Saviour who is looking for people to be defeated. He's not looking to see who falls and who gets defeated. He's saying, "I am providing for you a way that you can conquer these things in your life and make it easy to stand firm in these perilous times. So that as we face these difficult days in our lives, we can know that we are in a relationship with God." And so the Apostle Paul strived to follow Christ. He called upon others to follow him as well. And that was the strength that he had and the confidence he had in his relationship with God. I want to encourage you, brethren, firstly, to be on guard. Be patient. Be on guard. Don't allow sin to come into your life. The devil's busy. He's busy. In this congregation, in every congregation, this is our concern here. The devil is busy. He's working his way through and he's trying to figure out how he can disrupt us. He's trying to figure out how he can mess things around or how he can weaken one another and how he can bring all of these things that he has in his mind to destroy everything that we truly need to represent. And so I say, stand firm, stand strong. Be able to overcome these things knowing that no temptation is overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Brethren, we have an opportunity in the community that we live in, our homes, in society. We have an opportunity to make a difference. We have an opportunity to allow the world to see Christ through us. My favourite passage, I'm going to leave it with you, in Colossians 4. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Colossae. And what he's talking about, opportunity. Opportunity. Colossians 4 verse 5, "Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders." In other words, those people around you are looking at you. Those people in these perilous times, as recorded in 2 Timothy 3, are looking at you. And so Paul says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. That could be your workplace, your home, within this congregation. It could be in the community out here. It could just be somebody passing by in the shopping centre or somebody who serves you over a counter. Remember, we are the light. We are Jesus. We are His body. And so he says, be wise in the way you act towards those outside. Make the most of every opportunity. Why? Those opportunities may not come again. You may meet somebody once, but that may be the only time you meet them. Maybe God sent them your way. Maybe God directed them to your path. And now, if we don't utilize that time, we've missed it. And they've gone. He says, make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations be full of grace. Some translations say that your conversations be always full of grace. In other words, be careful what you say. Be careful how you speak. Consider the words that you're about to say, and how is this done? Seasoned with salt. Seasoned with salt. So that you may know how to answer everyone. Brethren, let me encourage you in these times, be on guard. Watch out for yourselves, watch out for each other. Watch out for the members of this congregation. Watch out for our young people, our children. Let's watch out for them. Let's be careful. Let's be wise. And more importantly, when we're out in the community, let the world see who we represent in these perilous times. Because Jesus said he is the light. And we too represent him in the world. Pray that God will continue to bless us as we strive to grow in his kingdom here in this city, to give honour and glory.